Time to pull up a chair and talk some fantasy football. I am your host, J.J. Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty Podcast. Tonight on the show, we will conduct a two-round rookie mock draft with some bonus picks for all you IDP degenerates out there. And of course, let me introduce the panel who will be helping us draft. We have Joe Harlow, my co-host among the luminaries. Hello, Joe.
Hello, J.J. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, especially after our pre-show conversation. Next up, we have Johnny Freakin' Fantasy from IDP Plus. I'm not even going to mention your toes. How are you doing, Johnny?
I'm great. Blessed to be on with you guys. This is the first time with many of y'all, and I hope it won't be the last. So let's give it a good go here.
Well, we'll see how it goes before we make that decision, Johnny. I usually save that sarcasm for our next guest. Sean, reporting in from the mothership, IDP Plus. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm sure everybody that was here in the pre-talk got that little reference. But, yeah, I'm excited to get this going, man. It's going to be a blast.
Anything more than three is a tickle. Next up from Sports Affiliation, my brother Iggy. How are you doing, my friend?
Great, JJ. Just happy to be here with everybody, talk a little defense, and hopefully convert a couple people to this wicked way of life.
Yes, that's what we are here to do. And, of course, my man from Club Fantasy is back, the wonderful Joel Wirth. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to see you. And last, but certainly least, from Gridiron Ratings, the one, the only, Jeff DiMatteo. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing all right, man. I need to know who keeps messing with your teleprompter, though.
I don't know. You know I'll read anything.
I know.
Oh, if only I could curse, I would quote through the other one. All right. Well, this was certainly a lot, but I will tell you what's not a lot. And that's our rookie guide. That's right. Our comprehensive 2024 IDP Plus Rookie Guide is here. Get the Rookie Draft Guide for a limited time only for $9.99. The latest version includes all of the post-draft feedback you need to dominate your drafts. Check out the link in the show description and download your copy today. Now, before we begin the draft, we are going to use the King's Classic IDP scoring for the draft. Joe, can you take a second and just explain what that means?
Yeah. So King's Classic scoring just kind of will even out all the positions. You know, in a lot of leagues, corners and defensive tackles especially get buried under the rest unless you have an outlier sort of season, like a Deron Bland returning 12 interceptions for touchdowns or whatever crazy number it ended up at. But typically, so we'll see a little boosting. For example, safeties have 0.5 points per tackle, corners get 0.6. Defensive ends and linebackers have 0.9 points for a sack. Defensive tackles have 1.5. So just balancing out a little bit and kind of takes a lot of the positional value out of the game and just take your best players. Just take who is the best, who's going to put up the most numbers.
Now, Iggy, you played in the King's Classic, correct?
I did.
So did you find that the scoring was pretty much balanced?
It's still hard for some defensive tackles and some cornerbacks to go out there and just make all the difference in the world. But then we've had weeks where the leading, you know, defensive back, was a cornerback just due to being targeted in the passing game and getting a lot of tackles. So, yeah, I found it to be pretty balanced. You know, that's something we're always striving for. You know, I've played with my scoring system for about 14 years, and it's real similar. The thing about it is you do have to have a defensive tackle. You do have to have a defensive end. You do have to have a cornerback. So it makes you roster these positions.
And the more you roster, the more you learn, which is why you should be playing IDP. All right, gentlemen, shall we begin? First round, first up, our friend Johnny. Where are you going, my brother?
Well, you know what? Where I come from, not in Pittsburgh, but fantasy territory, what I like to do is load up on the linebackers. But I'm gonna throw a wrench in the plan tonight. I'm safe drafting linebackers. I think there's some value, some hidden gems, some guys that might have good landing spots where they can, whether it be first couple weeks. By midseason, they'll be flashing, you know. So I'm going to forgo the linebacker spot, which is my bread and butter, something going against the grain here. And I'm looking at these edge rushers. And I think that I'm not going to pick a battle with as much as Law, too. He was the first taken. Yeah, he has a check mark. We think he's good to go. He's cleared. There's still injury risk. And you know what? In Indianapolis, they have guys that have, you know, mild roles there. Of course, they have DeForest Buckner. And sometimes having big names helps edge rushers, you know, make some noise, take some attention off them. But I'm going to just avoid that situation. So I'm not going to go with Law 2 on this one, which might be a little bit of a surprise. But I am going to go with a guy who's well-versed, and that's Jared Verse. I think they need somebody to definitely more than one body to pick up the production of Aaron Donald. And I think Jared Verse, looking at his college tape, what he was able to do at college in Florida State, I think he's going to be immediately needed, definitely be on the field a lot. And I think there's a good case to be made that he's the best prospect of these three edge rushers. So I think I'm gonna play safe here, take one of the top three. Not a huge surprise, but I do have a little method to my madness. And for me, it's going to be availability. And I think that, you know, there's production to be picked up, and he's a solid guy there. So give me Jared Verse first overall.
All right. We have Jared Verse. Joe, you are on the clock.
I'm also going to go a little off base, which isn't super surprising if you know me, but I will be taking the defensive player who I had as my top overall defensive player going into the draft. And that is Byron Murphy out of Seattle. Defensive tackles, as we said, are boosted a little bit in King's Classic scoring. So I'm going to get the one who is a cut above the rest, in my opinion, and the one who has the potential to be a Justin Madubuike type, the top interior defensive tackle scoring last season. And Murphy happens to be with Madubuike's old defensive coordinator, with Mike McDonald now. Murphy has great skill set for destroying blocks, getting penetration, just breaking offensive game plans in the pass game and in the run game. And young player, still needs to do some refining, but he is with one of the top defensive minds in the league. And I think if he is unlocked, that really just can give a positional advantage, like we've seen with tight ends over on the offensive side in the previous few years, with a Travis Kelce, George Kittle's here, Mark Andrews. I think you can get that sort of level of just positional win almost every week with a Byron Murphy. So I'm going to go there first or second.
All right, Byron Murphy. Next up is Sean.
Yeah, so I'm a little surprised there was some of these picks, but I dig it, Joe. Good stuff, man. That's a you know, positional advantage to go ahead and take the top DT. And a good spot. So yeah, man, I guess I'm going to go with Dallas Turner here. I really like. I mean, he's a freak athlete, huge wingspan. He's going to be in a defense with Brian Flores at the helm, so he's going to throw him all over the place. And I do think he starts right away. He's a couple years younger than all the others, too. So, I mean, he's already near the top, and he's got the youth. So, Dynasty, yeah, give me the young guy who's already a freak stud.
All right. Very good. Dallas Turner at pick 3. Iggy, you are up at pick 4.
Okay, not trying to be a homer, but I think I'm going to go with the volume, a linebacker that should step in and start immediately with the departure of Devondre Campbell to the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm going to go Edgerrin Cooper, you know, new defensive coordinator, wanted to get his guy immediately and make his stamp with it. You know, it's his scheme that's going to be implemented. We're still waiting to see how that transfers from Boston College. But he went and got a guy he knows well, got a lot of film on, got a lot of chance to look at, and Edgerrin Cooper. And Quay Walker will be undoubtedly the leader of this team, but you're talking about just in the NFC North, you're going to have Gibbs and Montgomery coming at you. You're going to have a rookie quarterback in Chicago for sure, and Caleb Williams, so expect to see a lot of runs or maybe errant throws, getting past deflection points and so forth. And then in Minnesota, you're either going to have Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy paired with Aaron Jones, so I think there's just a lot of tackle opportunity there. Tackling is still, you know, it is the light or the fire to the combustion in the IDP points. When you get somebody that can get 120, 130 tackles, you got a good baseline there. So Dynasty, he should be good for at least 5 years, maybe gets a second contract there in Green Bay, and you can plug and play him immediately. He doesn't have to go on your taxi squad. So Give me Edge and Cooper.
All right. Edge Cooper at 4. Next up, we have Joel.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't getting Cooper past my Packer fan brother, Iggy, there. So I'll have to move on to my next one. That's going to be Leatu. I think he was the most NFL-ready edge rusher in the class. I like Verse and Turner a lot, quite a bit. But Latu, just I think the neck issues are the fact that he got the early first-round draft capital means that the league is not terribly concerned about the neck issues. So my kind of reckless, you can kind of squint and see it comp for him is Jason Taylor. I just think he's just a really elite, potentially elite pass rusher. So I will take Leatu.
All right, so Latu goes at 5. Jeff liked that pick, and he gets to go next.
Man, I'll tell you, I saw Latu falling, and I'm like, come on, get to me at 6. I was hoping and praying. I guess given my edges of choice are now off the board, I'm going to go linebacker here, and this is more situational than anything else. I'm going to go Junior Colson with the Chargers. Colson, pre-draft probably wouldn't have been a first-round pick for me. But this is going to be a volume-specific play. You know, Jim Harbaugh knows how to draft linebackers. He brought a ton of them into San Francisco in his first stint in the NFL. He's developed a few at Michigan. This is a guy that's going to be able to run all over the field. He can play on third down. You got to love it. I'd probably want a practice squad or a taxi squad, in Dynasty if I can. But, hey, I can probably drop him in right now and get some linebacker 3-4 level production for the shoot. So give me Junior Colson.
All right, Junior Colson goes off the board at 6. Next up, we have Johnny.
Number 7 pick.
This is number 7, my friend.
Number 7 here. You know what? I'm a homer. I'm from Pittsburgh. A lot of flack has been caught for Peyton Wilson. Injured knees, no ACLs. Hey. Maybe even better. He ain't going to tear an ACL if he don't got him, right? So I think this is a hit. Steelers made good on their picks. I'm a little bit more excited for Roman Wilson. I think that's more of a shoe-in for success. It has scared me over the time how the Pittsburgh Steelers have struggled to produce elite IDP linebackers. But I think this year is different. I think they're really going all in. I'm buying it. I know this is somebody who might not have been on other people's minds yet this early, but for me, this is a vote of confidence in Peyton Wilson. I already got an edge rusher. I think that Peyton Wilson, I'm not scared. I think he's going to play immediately. I'm not scared about Cole Holcomb. I'm not scared about Landon Roberts. I think those were just plug-and-plays last year. As a matter of fact, I don't even think Cole Holcomb is going to be healthy and ready for the season. So I think there's going to be an immediate need for another linebacker there. And when you're on the field running, I think he ran a 4-4-3, I think it was. Great prospect, was a dog in college at NC State. Luke Kuechly was talking high on him, maybe because he went to NC State, a little bit homer there for Kuechly. But I just think that somebody who's a little bit overlooked when we look at all these big names in here, and it's not really a linebacker class. I got to put my boy Peyton Wilson on the map there. And like I said, give him a vote of confidence because I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this year.
All right. Peyton Wilson goes at 7. Up next, pick number 8, we have Joe.
Yes, so this is where it starts to get a little difficult. I think there's a pretty clear top 6 in this class. And then really kind of go by your flavor of choice. And I'm going to go with an edge rusher who I was way higher on than many people. And that is the now Dolphins edge rusher, Chop Robinson. There was a lot of issues with his production, but Penn State, thank you for always making weird prospects who don't have any production. Really appreciate that. Even though they're freak athletes, makes things really easy, whether it's wide receiver, tight end, edge, linebacker, doesn't matter. Just make it interesting for us. Robinson's first step is elite. It's one of the best I've ever seen through scouting, and he does need a lot of work still, but the tools, the pass rush tools, skill set, it's there. You could see it if he's with a good coach and with that Baltimore Ravens style scheme he does have now in Miami. That is, seems it could, like, it could be a plus. Granted, it is Anthony Weaver's first time running a defense, but excited for that. The main holdup there is Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are on the roster and good when they're healthy. When will they be healthy is a question. They both had massive injuries towards the end of last season. They might be ready for training camp. They might not be able to play at all this season. Then Shaq Barrett's also there. Ideally, I wouldn't want to see Chop have a huge role year one, not be forced into a pass rusher one spot. But might need to happen. So we'll see. It'll give them some time to learn on the fly. The talent's there. It's a high risk, high reward pick, but I liked him a lot as a prospect and think he could really thrive.
All right. So Chop Robinson goes at pick number eight. Up next, we have Sean.
Well, sniped again here by Joe. Took my team and my next pick. So I'm going to pivot to linebacker. Just curious to which one I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to take Cedric Gray, the Titans. Mostly because I like the situation here. We have Mike Vrabel gone, so Jack Gibbons was already struggling last year. He was Vrabel's guy. So he doesn't have him backing him now. And towards the end of the year, he was in a rotational battle, I believe. So there's not a lot of confidence there. I think with a really strong camp, Gray could be the starter by week one.
All right. So Cedric Gray goes at pick number nine. Up at number 10, we have Iggy.
Yeah, I may be going a little deeper here, but I feel like this is going to be a good play. Cole Bishop for the Buffalo Bills. You know, I live out here in the Mountain West, so I'm maybe just a little more in tune with some of these, you know, smaller D1 colleges that a lot of people like on the coastal regions may not get. And there's just a void there. You know, you're getting Sean McDermott. You're getting one of the best safety whispers of this generation, of this century. So I think that there's potential for him to come in and play immediately. I mean, he can do it all. I had some statistics pulled up for him. Give me 1 second, please. You know, he ended with 7.5 sacks, and he had 21.5 tackles for loss. Yeah, he had 3 interceptions and 12 pass breaks up as well throughout his career. 4 first fumbles. I mean, this guy reminds me of a Leroy Butler, a Nick Collins, you know, a do-it-all safety. And as we move more and more into zone coverage, which the NFL's doing, you know, that safety needs to be there for that hybrid tight end, that slot player. Plus, we may need to be bringing you up the edge on, you know, zone blitzes and so forth. That position is becoming more in demand and more in use across the NFL. And I just think he has a great opportunity to do it. So give me kind of one of a – he's from Georgia, but, you know, played out here in Utah, so I call him somewhat local. Cole Bishop.
All right, Cole Bishop, our first safety off the board at pick number 10. Next up, we have Joel.
I'm going to go back to the D-line. I'm going to take Darius Robinson, Arizona. Guy whose film I didn't really like, but had a great Senior Bowl. Super athletic, so I think you can kind of bet on the traits and think that his best football is ahead of him. He's going to have a good head coach, and Jonathan Gannon is a good defensive coordinator. And he's a guy who's going to have some positional versatility. I could see him, you know, maybe getting a D tackle, D end designation as he goes, you know, as he gets more play. So it's a team that's just horrific run defense. And so a guy that they're going to need to kind of plug in right away. So I think he's got a chance to put up some really solid IDP stats.
Very good. So Darius Robinson goes at 11. Jeff, with the last pick in the first round.
Man, Iggy, I was staring down Cole Bishop. I had him at number 8 on my list here, and you stole him from me. He was sliding down. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get him. So I guess I'm going to pivot again. We're going to go I'm going to go interior D-line here. I'm actually going to go Braden Fisk with the Rams. In the last 2 years, the Rams have put together a lot of really interesting pieces on their front. And when you consider having to play against San Francisco, they're going to put the ball up, right? And inside of that O-line is pretty sad. Seattle, O-line's a little patchwork, good on the tackles, a little tough inside. Arizona, their offensive line stinks. Give me 6 games and plus matchups for those interior defensive linemen. Braden Fisk next to Kobe Turner. I love it. I don't think he's going to catch the double teams he caught at Florida State. Guy has potential to be an absolute game wrecker. Love the potential for tackle for loss. Braden Fisk, happy to take him at 12.
All right, Braden Fisk finishes out the first round. Now, Jeff was lucky enough to have Braden Fisk fall to him in the draft. But when you don't want luck involved in your landing spot, check out Expedia. We are thrilled to announce our new partnership with your one-stop shop for the best prices in the travel world, Expedia. With Mother's Day on the horizon, Expedia is the place to make it special for the mom in your life. Get 10% or more off at over 100,000 hotels worldwide and 30% off when booking a flight with your accommodations. Check out the link in the show description and get your next adventure planned today. All right, now to quick recap our first round. We had Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, and Dallas Turner going 1, 2, and 3, followed up by Edger and Cooper, Laiatu Latu, Junior Colson. Second half, we had Peyton Wilson at 7, Chop Robinson at 8, Cedric Gray at 9, Cole Bishop as our first safety at 10, followed by Darius Robinson, and Jeff finished off the first round with Braden Fisk. Now, looking at that, Iggy, which pick surprised you the most in that first round?
I would just have to say, I mean, they're all great picks. Can I see them one more time with the names? I think it's going to be – I was expecting Latu to go first. So, I mean, I think that one has to be the biggest surprise going Verse. Not that I think Verse, will have, a bad year or anything or won't be able to step in right away and do it. It's just, Latu's so heralded that, yeah, there's some injury questions. But playing in the AFC South, there's some potential there to get C.J. Stroud. Trevor Lawrence has shown that he could be suspect to pressure. I still don't have enough game tape to really say anything conclusive on Will Levis, but I feel like he would have a few sacks in him as well. So I thought that would maybe happen. I'm not necessarily surprised by Verse. He's a big name as well. But I guess a surprise for me is that Latu wasn't the first one taken off the board, even though I passed him too.
Joel, what pick surprised you?
I don't know if it's so much a surprise, displays the kind of lack of linebacker depth in this class. And that's Cedric Gray, who just I think he's a good player, but didn't get the real good draft. It was a fourth round pick, I think. So I think that he's the kind of outlier in this round, is he's the only one who didn't get real high draft capital.
All right. Well, let's kick off the second round. Johnny, you are up first with pick 13.
Let me just preface it with this. I'm not somebody who's afraid. Like, I'll take 3 wide receivers in a row if they're the best player who falls to me. But for the sake of everybody else on this podcast, I'm going to stay away from the linebackers. I already got one, so I'm not going to, dip my hand in the well again. But I will take Tyler Newbin, from the safety from the Giants. I think there's a massive – we all know that. There's a massive void there in that backfield. They lost Xavier McKinney, was a great player last year. I think there's really not too much help he gets on that defense. They have Bobby Okereke to help bring down tackles. But I think there's going to be a lot of tackle opportunity for Tyler Newbin, not only right away, but for the duration of his career. We saw McKinney stay there for a while. It doesn't really seem like they're, rinse and repeat on the safety position. It seems like they kind of stick with their guys. Hopefully that's the case for Newbin as well. I really like the opportunity here, the landing spot, and that's really what I'm banking on, that you get a player who's going to not only be a good rookie this year, but somebody who has stability in front of them. And let's be honest, the Giants are a pretty rough team. Their defense is going to be on the field a lot. Now, if they're losing, there doesn't mean they're going to get thrown on a lot. But just being by nature on the field a lot, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity when you're lacking playmakers on defense, especially in the backfield there. So I think this is a safe pick for me, Tyler Newbin, in my, third pick? Yeah.
All right. So we have Tyler Newbin, the second safety off the board, going at pick 13. Joe, you are up next.
Johnny was gracious with not going multiples at one position. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm going to hit the defensive line again, and I'm probably going to make maybe the biggest reach to many so far, and that is my guy Marshawn Neyland out of Western Michigan, now with the Dallas Cowboys. Someone who I had in the top 30 of my overall rankings going in, or top 35 at least. I don't remember exactly offhand. Either way, I had him as a near first rounder. I think he is, again, super raw, as most of these players are, but Western Michigan's defense did not do him any favors. They couldn't even get him lined up in the right spot. If you watch the film, he was like a yard off the ball most snaps. They're just weirdly set up, and it's like, what are you doing? But putting him across from Micah Parsons is going to be great for Neyland. And also they have DeMarcus Lawrence in there, who is aging and is definitely past his prime, but still a pretty solid player. especially for development of another similar style of player. Nealon has outside-inside versatility. I do think he can be a legit edge rusher, though is a little, maybe a little stiff for that. He is a powerful player. He's violent, nasty, still learning a lot. And he's someone who, as long as Micah Parsons is there, he could still just dominate in the run game and then find his way into another couple sacks, cleaning up Micah Parsons' havoc. Upside shot here, one of my favorite players in the class.
All right, Marshawn Nealon goes at pick 14 to Joe. Up next is Sean.
Yeah, another good pick, Joe. Thanks. Yeah, that's I was thinking it was going to be a reach for me to go and take him with the next pick. So,
well, I took that potential hate off your plate. So
yeah, you know, it's a big weight off my shoulders. I appreciate that.
Glad I can help.
Yeah. Now what? I guess I'm going to pivot to Trevin Wallace with the Panthers. Josie Jewell's there. He's like 29, 30. Shaq Thompson is there. He's 30. Neither one of them are a guarantee to stay on the field, to stay healthy. And I know Wallace, he's still, you know, raw, I would say, but his athleticism, I think, will counteract that. He's pretty much a it's a really good comparison for Frankie Louvu, I think. So he could be used in a similar role, sent on the blitzes, stuff the run, be in the backfield. And that's, I think that's pretty good potential. I'm really excited to see what he can do this year.
All right, Trevin Wallace going at pick 15. Next up is Iggy.
Yeah, you know, I've gone linebacker safety, so I'll try to keep it even. I'm going to go Chris Braswell. I think he's an undermentioned name in this draft. Got overshadowed, rightfully so, by, you know, other talent at Alabama, you know, but I don't think that's a bad thing. Going against practice against some of the best linemen and then sitting behind Will Anderson Jr., we know how much of a success he was. So I think he's been kind of quietly forgotten, even though he was a almost consensus five-star recruit coming out of high school. And then with Tampa Bay, you know, you got, you know, he's going to be setting the edge. He can do both things, 250 pounds, 6'3". There's potential there for him to stay off and keep the rush off, but he'll also be looked to be bringing the edge pressure. And in the NFC South, he's going to be going against Kirk Cousins, super mobile, Derek Carr, and also extremely mobile, and Bryce Young, who took a lot of sacks last year and taking too long to make decisions. So I think there's potential there for big plays in this setup. You still get a lot of points for sacks in the Kings Classic, as are most IDP leagues. It's the most rare play, you know, in statistical play, you know, for a defensive player. You know, I like to break it to you this way: if somebody averaged two sacks a game, they would crush you know, Michael Strahan's sack record. That's how rare it is to get sacked. So I think there's potential for Chris to step in and have an impact there. And, you know, even with some of the linebackers gone and some of that secondary in flux, he can still step in and be a great player.
All right. Chris Braswell out of Alabama going to Iggy. Next up at pick 17, we have Joel.
I'm going to take another little bit of an injury risk, and I'm going to take Johnny Newton from Illinois, who went to Washington. Kind of a penetrating D-tackle, so I think he's got a chance to get some good sack totals. It's a defensive really struggled to get after the quarterback after they get rid of Chase Young and Montez Sweat last year. They got Dan Quinn coming in, who should kind of revitalize that defense. A little concerned about I think he's got a Jones fracture in his foot or something like that. So, That makes me nervous, but I think he's probably a guy who, if he didn't have that injury concern, would have been, you know, maybe top half of the first round. So it's a little bit of a risk, but at this point in the draft, it's what I'm willing to take.
All right, Johnny Newton goes at 17, our third defensive tackle. Kings Classic scoring is really setting in. Jeff, you are up next at pick 18.
You know, we haven't had a corner yet, have we?
We have not.
Let's go ahead and let's break the seal on that one. I'm going to take Arizona corner Max Melton. You know, we've talked about Max on a previous episode we all did together pre-draft and got him in there. I'm going to take him here because this guy is lightning fast. At the Senior Bowl, he was regularly playing play speed at between 21 and 22 miles an hour every day in practice. He tackles well. He can step up into the box. He can play the boundary on the slot. wouldn't be shocked in Arizona if he gets tested frequently going against guys like Brandon Ayuk, going against guys like DK and Lockett and some of the other guys you see on the Rams with Puka and Kupp. He's fast enough. He covers well enough. He stood out at Rutgers. He stood out against his peers, a much higher talent set than at Rutgers at the Senior Bowl. And I think he's going to stand out some more in the NFC West. And he has a real chance to put up some fantasy digits here early on, especially in a balanced scoring format.
All right. Love to see our first corner go off the board. Max Melton at pick 18. Up next, Johnny.
So I'm going to take the sleeper route here. I'm going to lay it all on the line, take a shot. I'm not afraid to do that. Right now, you know, I'm somebody who thinks of track record. You know, I like the father son. Even when we look at offense, Jerry Rice's son, you know, just because even though he was a late round pick, not much draft prowess, you know, not somebody who's the highest graded out there. I think there's magic in that. So for me, when we look at the defensive side of the ball, number one, he's Jeremiah Trotter's son. He's Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So that's my pick. And second most, looking at the build of that team right now, first off, they really don't have very fluid depth as far as linebackers there, inside linebackers, outside linebackers. They lost Hassan Reddick, a big sack getter for the team, for the Eagles. Maybe Devin White kind of is used on the outside a little bit, a sack getter. Maybe he doesn't return to form that we saw previously in his career. Besides that, they have N'Kobe Dean, who I rode the hype train. I took a shot on him last year, but he didn't do me any good. Didn't do anyone any good. So I think there's definitely room here. This is somebody, even though we're not talking about, you know, this is a linebacker heavy class. I think Jeremiah Trotter is definitely a sleeper. And I wouldn't be surprised when it comes to August and redraft season rolls around. This is going to be somebody who I'm talking about on podcast. All it takes is one injury. It might not even take that. He might show up in OTAs, tear it up. You know, looking back, I've played IDP for the last 10 years. And before it was podcast and you know, audio podcast, before I got to hear somebody's voice, you just kind of looked at stats over time, at least from my experience. And you just look for somebody who's hungry, and chances are rookies are hungry. They want to get that contract. They want to get that money. They want to put themselves on the map. And I'm going to put a vote of confidence in Jeremiah Trotter Jr. As much as he's overlooked, and I think I'm not going to say I watched him play and he's the best linebacker. I'm not saying any of that. But when we look at the landing spot, the track record, his father played there, I think he's absolutely going to get a shot to play, and I think he's going to shatter expectations. So I think this is a sleeper pick here. And I'll answer your question, JJ. What's the most surprising pick? Just might be mine right there.
Well, the Philly faithful is definitely going to love that pick. He was one of my favorite landing spots on our pod last week. So I'm excited for that pick. Great job, Jeremiah Trotter at pick 19. Joe, you are up next.
I'm going to stop going with defensive linemen here. And I'm going to pick a player who, if this were a redraft mock draft, would not be touching at this point, but this is a dynasty draft. So I'm going to ride, see what I did there, with my guy, the guy who was my top ID or top defensive back going into the draft and for fantasy. And honestly, he's still my DB1, though it's not for this year. That's Jaden Hicks, the head hunting box safety out of Sean. Did I get you again? Ah, beautiful.
You did. You did. Yes.
Got to get my guy. Hicks, I had a very high grade on. Again, headhunting box safety out of Wazoo, now with Kansas City Chiefs. Don't know how much of a role he'll have this year. They do have Byron Cook free safety, though he also had a catastrophic injury late in the year. Justin Reed is there. He has had some versatility playing deep safety and box safety, mostly box safety this past year. But Hicks has enough coverage ability to not to stay on the field. He's not just a liability there, basically a glorified linebacker, but he's absolute headhunter, showing a lot of growth. I think he is also only 21, and
yeah,
someone who I really love the film. I think he can be I think he could be the DB1 in this class. And even with subpar draft capital, I think he fell at the end of the fourth round, which shocked myself, shocked even the big draft pundits. You see Dane Brugler and Daniel Jeremiah had him in their top 55. And him falling was shocking to them and was to me as well. I do think he's going as a prime candidate to outplay late draft capital.
All right, we have our third safety going off the board at pick 20, Jaden Hicks. Up next is a disappointed Sean.
I've been disappointed most of this draft. Now, that's a great pick, man, because he's even come out and, you know, said how ready he is to get out there on the field. You know, he's keeping receipts, everybody that passed him over, and dude's focused, and he was already a headhunter. That's going to be such a great player, I think, within probably later this year, maybe next year. He's going to be a lot of fun. He really is.
Would be very violent on the field.
Very violent, which, you know, a good throwback player, which we could use. It's gotten soft. It's gotten too soft. So with all that stalling.
All right, Boomer, let's go.
I'm gonna have some fun with this one. I'm going to take Cooper DeJean. I know he's injured. I'm not sure about return yards in this format. Is there, you get a bunch of return yards in the Kings Classic, yay or nay?
For interceptions, or you mean like punt returns?
Punt returns, kick returns, any of that?
I'm trying to remember.
I'm double checking that right now.
They should, Sean. They
should. You get it if not football sevens, but I don't know about the Kings. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I mean, so this guy can do pretty much anything, right? He can return, he could play slot, he could draw back to safety, corner. I don't know that we'll be able to get a whole lot of value this year from him, just because he probably will be kind of that Brian Branch for a little while. Not really sure how to be used until some injuries happen. But his potential is through the roof.
All right. Cooper DeJean. Going at pick 21. Up next is Iggy.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the safety position. I'm going to stick in the Southeast Conference. I'm going to be looking at Javon Bullard for the Green Bay Packers. Once again, he just stepped into a need. You know, safety, something that's been kind of a gaping problem. And this guy's, you know, he's more of that hybrid safety. He's going to be playing a lot in the box. He's going to be coming in and stopping the run game against, you know, Gibbs and Montgomery and Jones, you know. So those will be kind of the people he's looking at. Played really good, Georgia. I think he slipped a little bit, almost 200 pounds, you know. So I just think there's a lot of potential for him. Maybe 1 year on the taxi squad, and then you'll be ready to go with him.
Fantastic. Javon Bullard at pick 22. Joel, with the penultimate pick in the draft, where are you going?
It's just been a run on guys I thought I could get at this pick. So I'm going to go deep. I'm going to go real deep, and that's Edifuan Ulufosio. Nice. The linebacker from Washington who went to Buffalo. I think there's a great opportunity there, right? He's a guy I liked his tape at college. But Matt Milano tore his ACL last year. We don't know when he'll be back. They lost Terrell Dodson to free agency. So that's a linebacker spot that has put up fantasy points in the past. And so I think he's got a chance to kind of step in there and kind of establish a role for himself right away.
All right. The first player I didn't have on my list, so I could just drag and drop on my spreadsheet. But we went with Ulufosio at pick 23. Jeff, where are you going, my friend?
Well, I'm picking this guy so he allows me to talk about several other players. I'm going to go with Tennessee linebacker defensive back James Williams. Guy comes out of the University of Miami, paired up with Cam Kinchins in that secondary. Kinchins was the deep guy. Williams played the box. Williams will not be a defensive back at the NFL level. This guy's likely going to end up playing weak side. He's going to be a chasing tackle type player. He had 73 tackles last year, a couple for loss. The guy played in the box all the time. Still contributed an interception and a few other plays near the ball. 6'5", 215. The guy's an absolute monster. Similar size to a guy like Jaden Hicks, who went a little bit earlier. When Hicks went, I kind of groaned a little bit because those two guys to me are very similar, where they're going to be able to play a little defensive back. They're probably going to be in the box a lot. Hicks, there's no linebacker depth, right? In Kansas City, he's going to be in that box a lot. Williams could be there for Tennessee also. Kenneth Murray, he came in. He's probably not the most talented guy in that room right now. They've got a lot of younger talent. He could be exposed and dumped before the season even starts. I love Williams here. Definitely gives you some positional versatility. So if you're playing on sleeper, plug him in as a linebacker, plug him in as a DB, get the best of both worlds.
All right. James Williams out of Miami goes at the last pick to Jeff. Just to recap the second half of our draft, the second round, we had Tyler Newbin going at pick 201, followed by Marshawn Nealand, Trevin Wallace, Chris Braswell, and Johnny Newton. At pick 18, we had Max Melton, followed by the Philly faithful Jeremiah Trotter Jr., followed by Jaden Hicks, Cooper DeJean, Javon Bullard, Edifuan, Ulofoshio. Thanks, Joel. And finally,
bless everybody on that one.
James Williams. I appreciate that. So I might as well just start. Jeff, what pick in that last round surprised you the most?
You know, truthfully, second round here, this defensive class isn't as deep as we've seen the last few years. So I don't think any of these picks really surprised me that much. But if I've got to pick somebody, I'm going to say a guy like, you know, Jaden Hicks should have gone a lot earlier. I'm shocked he didn't go at the turn. I considered him at 12. You know, anytime you have a defensive back that can step up and pile up tackles the way he can, you got to love that, right? I'm shocked he didn't go a little bit sooner. I think that was an excellent pick.
Right. Sean, anybody surprise you except that fact that everybody you wanted went one pick?
Yeah, Joe surprised me at every possible chance.
You're welcome.
He's like that, isn't he?
I thought Trotter would slide a little bit further, if not be left off. I don't hate it at all, but it's just a name I thought would go overlooked. But like I say, once you get past the initial batch of guys here, it's kind of pick your flavor, right? There's not a whole lot of separation with a lot of these.
All right. Well, here at Rider Dynasty, we like to go a little bit deeper. So you're each going to have to give me one more name who you would have drafted. We're going to snake draft this, though, and let Jeff go first. So, Jeff, who is one guy who you want everybody to know about?
49er safety Malik Mustafa. You know, sorry, Joel. He keeps getting sniped at every turn, so sorry. I do like you, I promise. I like you as a human. Look, Mustafa's the kind of guy that can – he's going to be able to play – I keep drafting these box safeties. I have a type, right? Mustafa's not real big, but he has enough of a frame that he can step in and play on that strong safety spot. And if we don't get anything out of Devondre Campbell, he might be getting to that point where he's not moving as well as we want him to. Dre Greenlaw's hurt. You've got Fred Warner there. This is a guy that could step in as that other backer potentially in any kind of nickel set or any kind of speed set that way. Has a real opportunity to get on the field. I think he'll be more productive than Jair Brown was last year. And definitely a name worth keeping an eye on in third, fourth round of your rookie draft.
Very good. Malik Mustafa. Love that name.
Pick, Jeff.
Joel, you're up next.
I'll go real deep. I'll say Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, who went to the Eagles. Really raw kid, but a really kind of superior athlete. And Philly just like they just crank out pass rushers, so it's a great place for him to go. He'll be a rotational guy there. He'll get on the field right away. So I think they can give him some real development. And a guy who, you know, he's a developmental guy, but he's got some real upside.
All right, Jalix Hunt, great first name. Up next is Iggy. Iggy, who do you want us to know?
And how about the Minnesota Gopher who set the school record for most interceptions, and that's Tyler Newbin, man. I think he's going to be on a very bad Giants offense. He could get a lot of volume, and he's got the knack for being a playmaker, you know, like Charles Woodson or somebody that just is really good at getting turnovers and – making an impact on the game from the defensive side of the ball. He has that in him. That's not something you teach. That's something very instinctive and comes with a high level IQ for football, for a defensive back, to have that playmaking ability. And I just think he's going to a great situation where the Giants might be a bottom five offense. So that is always good. When you're playing IDP and you're new to it, look for bad offenses because volume, 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 no difference than an offensive player. So Tyler Newbin.
So if it was the peanut punch, is it going to be the Newbin nub?
I don't know, the noob and nut. Yeah, it could be that.
Very, oh, very. That would
found
be
JJ's masseuse.
All right, that's enough of that. Sean, who do you have for us?
Yeah, well, let me try to save this segment. Yeah,
this is your chance to snipe Joe.
There's no way I'm going to snipe Joe ever. I'm not going to go that deep. Another Texas defensive tackle that slid in the draft and is probably going to be overlooked in fantasy, T'Vondre Sweat. Team it up with Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry. He's such a big dude. And you know, the Titans are more than likely going to get the score run up on them and have their opponents run the ball. So this guy is very liable to rack up a lot of run stuff in tackles. And maybe jump in for a few sacks. You know, you can't block everybody, right? So he's such a big dude. I'm sure he just falls on at least one or two quarterbacks.
Feel bad for those quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
All right, Joe, at least make him feel good and say he snapped you.
It's a great pick.
I can
make my decision alone. we talked about T'Vondre Sweat on our last show last week. It's an interesting pick. Very interesting. But no, he could hurt a couple quarterbacks for sure.
Kill a couple of quarterbacks.
big dude.
Need my guy Anthony Richardson to hide. Run away. But between a few names for this pick, but I will just stick with one of my favorite players, one on our DB episode we talked about a lot. And that is Drew Phillips from Kentucky, now with the New York Giants. Looks like, I hope he's the slot corner there, but ideal spot for fantasy football amongst cornerbacks, especially near the ball. He's someone who's just another bat out of hell. Hit you, doesn't matter that he's smaller than you. He will take you out, knock you out. And some decent ball skills, not ball production. I don't think he actually had an interception in college, but was around the ball. He's someone who's just so frustrating to play as a receiver and a running back, just on the offense. He's always there, always making the right move. And I think he has 4.4 speed, I think 4.43, and just bat out of hell. Someone who he wants just make some hits, make some plays. Very Roger McCreary-esque, who is one of my favorite players as well. Also with the T'Vondre Sweat's teammate now.
All right, Drew Phillips with our last honorable mention, our last best of the rest. Johnny, where are you going?
So correct me if I was if I'm not mistaken, Mike Sainer still it wasn't taken, correct?
Was not taken.
You know what? In honor of the Kings Classic scoring, we have to come out of here with a cornerback. He's going to be my honorable mention cornerback. You know, Joe had mentioned before the Kings Classic. It tries to level the playing field. Just so happens, even in tackle-heavy leagues, some of those slot cornerbacks, Brian Branch, he really, you know, crept up the rankings there. He's maybe top three, top five in dynasty defensive backs nowadays. So I think this, you know, Cooper DeJean was another pick. You're trying to catch lightning in a bottle here at the slot cornerback position. I think Mike Sander still is somebody who's going to get the opportunity to hit the ground running. Again, like we said, bottom teams, they're going to be, you know, defense is going to be exposed. I think this is a guy that not only is going to be in a good opportunity, well-balanced on the field to make tackles, but maybe somebody who, you know, we see a lot of these rookie cornerbacks get picked on. So maybe he gets picked on. Ooh, pick on him. You know, I wanted those tackle opportunities. So maybe this is the new Brian Branch, and he's still undrafted at this point. So that's my honorable mention.
All right. Finishing great. Us up, we have Mike Sander still going to Johnny with his honorable mention. Now, I hope he does get picked on. And I know when I was a kid and was picked on, I went to my mom. And Mother's Day is almost upon us, friends. Don't get put in the doghouse with a boring gift. Trophy Smack has fully customizable belts and rings for that special mom in your life. Let her know she's the best with a flashy token of your appreciation and make all the world's best moms coffee mug givers run and hide. We only have a few weeks left until the big day, folks. So head over to trophysmack.com now and use the promo code IDPGuys, one word, to get a free championship ring with the purchase of a custom trophy or belt. Check out the link in the show description and win Mother's Day Trophy Smack. All right, gentlemen, It is time for Tags, where we share any final thoughts that we have and let everybody know where they can find you. First up is Jeff.
Man, you always like, you're coming to me first now. You left me last to start the show, and now you want to lead off with me.
Absolutely. Yeah, hey, I do it in reverse order.
You messed me all up. You can find me on Twitter at NFL_DiMatteo. It's on the screen, obviously. You can find my work over at gridironratings.com. Got all kinds of different like infographics and things like that on a lot of the rookies that you've seen recently. And some interesting injury content coming down the pike. And projections are now live. So a lot of fun stuff coming down the pike here for 2024.
Very good. Joel.
The Joel Worth, at if you're a Twitterer, and you can find my Dynasty show with our mutual friend Michael Ciccoli on the Club Fantasy YouTube channel every Sunday morning at 11. That's the Dynasty After Party, and now doing a best ball show right here on IDP Plus. So you can usually find that Tuesday mornings or whenever Gary gets it out.
All right. Thank you, Joel. Iggy.
You can find me at IDP Iggy on most platforms, X, Sleeper, and that's where you'll find me, as well as the sports affiliation at the Sports Affili on X, and then sportsaffiliation.com, occasionally over at Fantasy Alarm as well. So you can find me at one of those spots.
All right, Sean, Mr. Snipe.
Yeah, there we go. At Sean8386 on the Twitter X, whichever it goes by these days. I'm usually lurking about in the IDP Plus podcasts, articles, just wherever. I'm not hard to find.
He is not hard to find, but he's hard to lose. Johnny, a blast.
You can find me in Pittsburgh if you're blessed enough. But if you're on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at JohnnyFreakinF1. I've been doing a lot of podcasting for the IDP Plus team, a lot of celeb shots on IDP Plus rankings with Nate Cheat, the host, also Brandon Lee TV. We've been doing a lot of podcasting on IDP Plus rankings. I also have my own show, which I co-host with at Average AVG Joe's _FF. If you haven't followed him already, tremendous analyst, go ahead and do so yourself. This is my first year on the team. Actually, this is the end of my rookie year, so I'm no longer a youngin. I'm a veteran now, so I appreciate everyone on the IDP Plus team. Everyone I've worked with outside of the team has been great. It's been an honor to be on this podcast, and I'm rodding the wave. So thanks for having me on, and hopefully I'll be back soon if I make the cut.
Absolutely. Joe.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at JoeLo63. Oh, first try. Nailed it.
That was good. That was good.
You can find me in Omaha for the next 4 days until we're out. But yeah, a couple days. But you can find me on IDP Plus, where I am doing Dynasty writing here at Rider Dynasty. I'm going to be starting up some 2025 scouting stuff pretty soon. Class looks a lot better for IDP than does this year. Let me tell you that. Some exciting players. On Twitter, you can find me tweeting about football, the Orioles, Star Wars, Bluey, some other things. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you, JJ, for being our host, as always.
All right. You are welcome. I'm at JJ Wenner on Twitter. Thank you to Sean, Johnny, Iggy, Joel, and Jeff for helping out and lending their expertise to this draft. I'm so grateful to call you guys friends. Like, this is great. Thank you to Joe and Jameson. Jameson couldn't make it tonight for all of their work on this episode. Special thank you to the whole IDP Plus crew for helping produce the pod. Make sure you tune in next week on Wednesday to the All Out Blitz that I host with my buddy Doug Orth. We're going to be breaking down some rookie draft strategies. And then come back on Friday to check out the Rod Pod, where we will conduct a 3-round offensive rookie draft. So from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and as always, boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.